This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
It's time to set it off, guys. What's up? It's So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. I am whispering into the mic. It is 3:15 a.m. If you guys have been following the saga this week, I have had to transfer 184 sound files. And if you guys know me, I'm not organized. So it was like, I have over like, in my iTunes library, I have over like 600 gigs of music. And now like, it's like everything that your mom and dad tells you, like, oh, be organized, or you want to label things correctly so you can find them. So I'm transferring over all these sound files and the company says it'll be easy, but then there was an issue. And so I had to get my hands dirty. It turns out when I was up doing this podcast, all those late nights, when I first started, if you guys have been with me since the beginning, I used to have a regular job and I would be up all night editing until like work in the morning. And so by the time I got to saving the sound file, it would be like blah, bitty, blah, 43. So when I went back to find all of these files, like they were on hard drives. I want you to know you're in the hands of an idiot. I am a full-fledged idiot, and I just finished about 15 minutes ago, but you guys, what I did do was I recorded a great episode today with a great guest, and you're going to love her if you don't know her already, but I'm going to have this out for you in the morning, so we're back on schedule, no more afternoon pods, and I should be able to make an announcement in a couple days, which I'm really excited about why I had to do all of this stuff. But I have so much I need to catch up with you guys. I'm going to have to do a solo episode soon just to talk about Beverly Hills Tonight and New York. And in this interview, we do talk about both of those things. And she has she's actually friends with Leah McSweeney, so we bring that up. But she's an amazing podcaster in her own right. I really highly recommend listening to her podcast. So her podcast is called Scissoring Isn't a Thing. And I listened to it. I think it's great. I think you guys will dig it too. And it's really just really good, honest conversations. She hosts it with Darren Karp. I don't know if you know her, but she hosts Reality Check on People TV. You know, you guys have seen her in the Bravo universe because she's Andy's assistant as well. But Liz is just amazing. She also is the co-host of the Taylor Strecker Show on Tuesdays. And a lot of you guys listen to Taylor because I've always had people write in to ask me to ask Taylor to be on the show. But I've always been too nervous to do that because, you know, we've established I'm a disorganized pussy. So anyways, her Instagram is at Listen to Liz, LISTENTOLIZ. But what I think is so cool is that this was like, I mean, we DM'd on Instagram and stuff and mutual fans, but it's so great to talk to somebody for the first time. And it's starting to be my favorite is that you guys get to just hear somebody that I'm kind of nervous to talk to for the first time. And then kind of like by halfway, it's just great. You're just like, oh man, this is great. You're great. There's so many good people in this world. I just gotta there really is. And I am so lucky to be able to talk to all of these people, but this is a conversation that kind of goes everywhere. So I hope you enjoy it. I really, really dug it. I think you will too. And then, of course, on Friday, I'll be back to doing a Kardashian recap, and I'm doing a Beverly Hills thing. So I'll talk to you again on Friday, but I wanted to get this out for you so you had it in the morning. I hope you guys have a great day at work or whatever you're doing. And I'm so excited that I don't have to load any more sound files. Oh, my God. I need an assistant, and I need money to get that assistant. I need help. I love you guys. I'll talk to you on Friday. Bye. And the reason I'm whispering is because my roommate said I've been being too loud with the podcast, and it's 3:21 in the morning. So, and he wanted me to buy this soundproofing material, but I didn't. So I'm trying to be really quiet so I don't get like an angry text message because I'm a grown up. Anyways, enjoy. Here is Liz Colley. You're going to love her.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you guys know, I say this about eight times a week. I love Instagram. I love Instagram so much because it lets me be a smartass, but you also meet the best people on it and people that you're like, oh my God, I want to talk to this person. And I was so excited to be able to do that with my next guest. I'm very excited because she does what I do. She loves what we love. And I just listened to her podcast earlier and it's way better than mine. So that is, I got to say that off the bat, like I know I'm not aware of that, but I do want to highly recommend this podcast and we'll get into it in a second. She is a co-host of the Scissoring Isn't a Thing podcast, which was, as you guys know, the original title of my pod. And she's also a co-host of the Taylor Strecker Show. Now, I don't know Taylor, but every one of you, you've always mentioned Taylor. You've always mentioned Taylor to me. And I try not to listen to tons of podcasts because I don't want to steal things inadvertently or verdantly. But anyways, I'm just so excited to talk to this next person. Her name is Liz Colley. Liz, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God, thank you. And I actually figured out how we might have known each other from before.
Oh, this really scares me. Oh no.
And so I've been simmering on it.
Oh no, simmering is not a good word. Simmering is like a scary word.
Simmering, like scissoring, it's all the same. Yeah. So I feel, did our lives cross paths at Leslie Kahn? Because yeah. I know Todd and Christy, like Todd.
Wait, Todd Grinnell or Todd Sashwick?
Todd Grinnell brought me down from San Francisco when I was a little baby actor, big fish in a small pond up there. And then
yeah.
Christy ended up being my like acting coach when I thought that I could, that I thought it was medically and scientifically possible to get thin enough to be in Hollywood, which I discovered it is not. And yeah, I think we like cross paths in yeah, the weird break room.
You look, yeah, you definitely look familiar, but I just thought, oh, like, oh, okay. She, you know, just has a good
like
look.
A white girl. Yeah. No, said,
well,
I know.
Well, guys, I don't know if you know this, if you do follow Liz, if you don't follow Liz, go follow her Instagram immediately, but she got a really dark spray tan today.
Oh, really bad one. Really bad.
I don't know. I've never really gotten a full spray tan, so I don't know what really bad is, but it was very dark. So she has washed that out, over now and everything seems like it's good. I mean,
yeah, everything is good now. I definitely resembled a burnt hot dog and I smelled like a burnt My Little Pony.
Oh.
I only faintly smell like a My Little Pony now. Now I don't smell like a burn when I just smell like that, like. And for all the listeners out there that had My Little Ponies, you know what I'm talking about. It's like vanilla-y, plasticky. It's just a very specific scent. But yeah, I got a really intense spray tan and I washed it off right before you and I got hopped on the line. And I think I'm good. I think I just look now.
I like that, like, your hands look like a Kylie Jenner makeup swatch. Just of like different shit. No, I'm joking. They look amazing.
Oh, wait, can I swear on this podcast?
It's primarily 7-year-olds that listen. So yeah. Oh. Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, totally. Okay. It is funny. I was thinking about you getting a spray tan, not like intimately, but I was thinking about it in the sense of you posted something last week that I so, or maybe it was a couple of days ago. Time means nothing anymore. You had like the meme of sure, I'll fit it in my schedule. And it was, yeah. You know, that it, I'm not, did you get a spray tan because we're having to get back to normal and see people again and stuff?
Well, one of my best friends is in town. And so we're going to have a very turnt weekend ahead of us. And a spray tan just makes me feel alive, Ryan. You know, it is because we are getting back into the world. My legs were so pale. They were like almost a light lavender blue shade. Mm. And I just feel alive with a little die on the skin.
I'm scared to feel alive again. Like I'm starting to do normal things and it's really, and like everything, everybody is coming out of the woodwork, everything. I've overcommitted myself after being non-committed for like a year. And I keep saying, I need one more month of the pandemic to really feel like I can be okay.
But what would you do? Like, okay, fine.
Nothing.
First of all,
I want to watch that Mayor of Easttown. I want to watch that. I want to watch. There's things I could do. I didn't do anything over the pandemic. Like Leah McSweeney, who we'll talk about in a bit. She had a religious conversion over the pandemic. She had a religious awakening. I had nothing. I didn't do a spiritual awakening, and I feel like I've wasted something.
Well, I read an article recently in Vanity Fair that was talking about how this was the most unproductive year for writers.
Yeah.
And that all these writers were furloughed from writers' rooms and everybody thought like, this was the year to make my pilot, bro. Like, this is the year. You know
what
I mean?
Exactly how writers sound like.
Exactly. And this was the time that I was going to do X, Y, and Z. And then they interviewed a couple of writers and they're like, I didn't do shit. And I feel the same. To be honest with you, I'm sitting on my memoirs. Like I've been writing them over and over for 7-8 years. And I actually had a great meeting with a friend of mine right before the pandemic happened. And he's like, this is great, but you need to push yourself. And so I started to push myself. And then March 13th, that shit happened. And I'm like, I'm going to take a 13-month break. And I haven't touched it since. I've just watched Temptation Island. I watched The Sopranos again.
Everybody did a Soprano. It was sourdough starters and Sopranos rewatches, I think. Yeah. Like, I mean, like that, but I didn't even, like I waited like 9 months to really get into full seasons of shows. Like I was just watching cable news all the time and then just podcasting at night and really just being a complete and eating wheels of brie cheese without anything, just the cheese itself. Like I'd wake up at 3 and I'd be like, it's cheese time. And I don't think, I mean, I don't think I was alone in this. It was just, it was,
I'm the fattest. I went hard in the paint. I mean, I even made banana bread. I mean, I actually love to cook and I cook quite a bit. So I was really getting wild in the first few months. And now I just don't even want to touch a pan. I'm just like, I can't anymore. I also never thought I would order food to my home. What a luxury. That's so expensive. Whoever orders to-go food in LA, very New York, but not LA. Like that shit's crazy. And typically you'd be like, why would I ever order food? It's going to take 3 hours to get here and be cold anyway. And it'll be $120. So things happen, Ryan, that we never thought were going to happen.
I went to Tom Tom this weekend and it was insanely full. And it was like awesome, but at the same time, you had those moments where you're sensitive to noise now. I'm more sensitive to noise than I was. And so you would look up after a noise and be like, this is very weird to be, I mean, in Tom Tom already, it's weird,
right.
But to be with a full restaurant of people. But at the same time, it wasn't some kind of like, I was like, oh, I wonder the first time I go into some place if I'll have some kind of emotional reaction and I'll cry and I'll be like, oh, but it was just like, oh, okay. Yeah. I remember this. Like it's like riding a bike. Like I'm just at a restaurant. There's nothing. It's like, okay. Yeah. Okay. We're back here. Like I took a year off.
I mean, God, how much were the drinks at Tom Tom? Have they gone up in price?
Yeah. They have pandemic pricing, but like on the other way, not like helping people out, like charging for the time that we were there. It was very expensive. I can't wait for I think the time I will get emotional is the first concert that I get to go to.
Where, if you could go to any concert right now, where would you go? Where, who would you see?
I would love to go to see. Well, I mean, there's every festival's announcing. And a couple of years ago, I went to Primavera Fest in Spain and I got to see like Tame Impala and Miley Cyrus and like all of these really great artists. And I just saw them announce again. And I was just like, oh, that would be so amazing not to be here in America, but to be elsewhere. Not anything wrong with America, but it would just be nice to travel, nice to see something. But yeah, at this point, anybody, I would see like somebody just noodling on a mandolin, I would see, you know?
Okay.
Well, yeah. Who would you see? Are you a live music person at all?
Oh, I love, yeah, of course. I worked at MySpace back in the day.
Oh my God. So you,
fun fact.
That's really,
so you, I've
MySpace started to every band in the early aughts.
In the early aughts. So I've been to like, I mean, there was one point where I feel badly saying it now, but I was like, I think I have been to every concert known to man after working in music for a while. I think if I were to go to a concert, you know, it's one or two things. I would either want to go to like Brandy.
Wait, like Monica and Brandy, That Boy Is Mine, Brandy? Yes.
Like Brandy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe even like a live versus like Brandy and Monica, or on the flip side, I want to go to like a YG 400, like young GZ, or you, that's like, I just want to go to like a real rap concert and just get hit on by every single man there and just really like, you know, live my truth. Those are the two. Or maybe would be more fun is to go to like a Robin concert and just like dance and cheap drugs, you know?
I was dancing with like 70,000 people at Coachella, just like people just sweating up on me. And that was normal. Like that's going to be,
I would never do that again.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like we were being so risky. It was like, not wearing a condom in the 90s. It was so risky. Like it was so,
do you know, risky. That kids don't wear condoms now.
Yeah. And did you know that kids, blowjobs are like kissing.
That's disgusting.
Right? I mean, I was shocked. Like,
are you so bummed you're not a kid now?
Yeah, it's like, what if you see me? Like, all of a sudden, it's like the worst version of 21 Jump Street. I'm like, hey, everybody, why does this guy have a white beard? Like, some girl was saying that her name was Amelia Gray. She was saying, what do you think of Amelia dating Scott Disick? Do you follow that?
Oh, I think he's a total predator. I mean, sorry.
Even if he's not aware of it, it's like you're now, it's a pattern.
It's a massive,
I don't have a lot of empathy or sympathy for that. Yet men, I keep saying like men do this thing where we want the sympathy, even though we fuck up. Like, we want the sympathy. You need to feel bad for me but I'm going to exhibit the behavior that I'm in the wrong, but still feel bad for me.
Listen, I dated a guy that was 19 years older than I was on and off in my 20s. And now that I am 35 years old, I can tell you with authority, I shouldn't have been doing that shit. He was too old. There was so much life that I hadn't lived. And so the playing field wasn't fair. And then,
But I was thinking about Amelia. Then, like, now I know this won't last. No offense, Amelia. But she's going to now compare a lot of other guys to this older man for the rest of her life. Did you go then? Did that affect everybody else you dated after that?
Interesting. Yeah, he was such a man child, hence the dating of like a 23-year-old.
I wouldn't imagine he was like Mr. Big, you know.
No. And I think it was funny. He's married now. He married a woman that was age appropriate, who had already had a daughter, which I really liked for him. We're still like, cool. We don't talk anymore, but he kind of had like weird masculinity issues with the fact that I married a woman, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I didn't necessarily compare. I just had a hard time dating guys. I never dated guys my own age. I found them to be immature, you know?
Yeah, but then guys older are just like a different kind of immature.
Exactly. And also the ones that were my age were like, like, give me a blowjob. And I'm like, I will literally do anything else.
Hey, what is this, junior high? Come on. Yeah,
let's have a threesome. Let's go to a strip club. Do you want a sex worker? I'll pay for it. Anything. I'm like, I will clean your car. I will clean your house.
I like it goes from sex worker to manual labor. It's like, I will go to a sex worker or I'll clean your car. Which, by the way, that is like a really good, as you get older, you realize how important it is to get somebody to clean your car. Your podcast, Scissoring Isn't a Thing, it's been going since 2020, and it's produced by Embassy Row. And you guys know I'm a huge fan of Embassy Row. They produce so many really great things. And you guys know the Bravo Breakdown, who's on there, they're working with her now. They're doing a show with her. I mean, just really great company. But what do you, because you do it with your friend, Darren Garth.
I do it with Andy's assistant.
Yes, Andy's assistant. And you guys know her. She actually hosts Reality Check on People. She's really awesome. But these guys have such a good flow. It is so, like, I was listening to this week's episode. The first 15 minutes, this lady that they're friends with, Cheech, comes on and talks about TikTok.
Wait, can I tell you an inside thing?
Yeah.
I had no idea what the fuck was going on. So I thought Cheech is Darren's friend, who I guess now is my friend.
And Cheech is a girl, by the way. Yeah.
Cheech is a girl. Her name's Michelle. I didn't understand what was going on. Darren, we changed the format of the show. So the first 15 minutes of the show, we have kind of like an influencer or a guest or a friend, and we talk about topical things because we do tend to bank some of our celebrity episodes, like whenever people are available, and you know how the rest goes. Like, we got to work with their PR, and when we release it, blah, 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 blah. So this woman came on, but I thought we were having like a business meeting about Pride. So I had no idea. If I'm being honest with you, I probably shouldn't be saying this on air, but whatever, I'll give you the inside scoop since my life is so exciting. I had no idea what was going on. And then she starts saying that TikTok made her queer. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
You're singing Born This Way. And she's like, no, I mean, it was fascinating because I didn't know what was going on either, but it was like, she was talking about explaining TikTok, the fascination. And I have a lot of friends. I have a TikTok account, but I've not used it. And I'm like, it's one of those things like Bridgerton where I refuse to get into it because it's so popular. And she was explaining that
Bridgerton is all about blowjobs.
I shouldn't have said that. It's not like I'm super into blowjobs.
No, I'm just saying I didn't get into it either. I didn't really watch it. I kind of watched it by proxy, but we're just talking about blowjobs. And I'm just saying that show is apparently all about blowjobs. But anyway, or cum. I think it's all about cum. Anyway.
My parents are like super into The Crown and stuff. And then I was like, hey, I hear that Bridgerton, they wear those old timey costumes too. And my mom was like, that's not our type of show. That's not our type. I'm like, why didn't you try it, Mom? Like, she watches all that, like The Crown and any kind of PBS Masterpiece Theater. And
I mean,
it's like,
so do I. So you need to take it down a notch there, Ryan, about the undertones of shit talking.
If you're ever in Gilbert, Arizona, come by. My parents come on the podcast all the time, and I made them watch a bunch of episodes of Summer House and Vanderpump Rules. And I watched one of them with them, and it was one of the Summer House episodes where Hannah said she, like, you know, she was literally talking about buttholes. And I've never felt,
as Hannah does.
Yes. Rest in peace, Hannah. I've never felt so much shame to make my parents watch that in front of them. And then they're just straight face watching it. And I was like, this will be great for the pod. But in that moment, I was so, cause you know, they're thinking like, where did we go wrong? Like he did such great high school theater.
I watched Boardwalk Empire with my mom and forgot that like the mom is fucking the son and is naked half the time. And I'm sitting there watching it with my parents wanting to kill myself. Because I'm like, oh, incest porn. Here you go, mom.
Well, having anybody that you're close to watch something that you love is one of the most grating experiences ever, because you're just watching over at them, seeing if they see the same thing that you do. Like, yeah. I like this so much. I hope you like this so much. And then you just, and then you start second guessing like, well, do I like this much? It doesn't seem like it's going over. Well, maybe I don't like this much. And it becomes this huge thing in my head where it's just not worth it. But it's always a funny podcast. So scissoring isn't a thing. Sorry. Did that get started? No, wait, actually, oh my God. Sorry, we're hopping all around, but this is, the audience knows this is what I do. You guys, you got to listen to this episode though. So she starts digging around on TikTok, and then through TikTok, she realizes she has ADHD and she realizes she's bisexual. Like she starts like, I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's like, it was like some, she said she was always, you know, attracted to like Miley Cyrus or something.
No, she actually, I think you're right, Ryan. I think she actually claims that TikTok made her realize that she was ADD and liked women. And I just got it. I mean, we didn't release the video, but I wish we had, because my face was just like, what the fuck are we talking about? I mean, I love it. But
like, it was, I mean, I was like, what? I mean, I want to see that TikTok commercial of like, ditto. You know, like,
ditto.
But then also, I don't think she's, if I listened correctly, I don't think she was like texting with a lady, but she hasn't really had her first
experience even kissed a girl
lately.
Yet.
I mean,
I don't know.
A wild story to share, but guys, you know, like, you know how I love talk radio and stuff like that. It was a fascinating story to hear. Like, I think it's perfect for a podcast. And then they had Karamo Brown's son on after it, who is pansexual. And that was a fascinating interview too. So I really highly recommend this podcast because, by the way, you and her have such a great chemistry. What is your relationship?
Okay. So the podcast, this is the origin of the podcast. The origin of the podcast was that, so Embassy Row produces Watch What Happens Live. You know this. The audience knows this. Okay. Sorry. So,
well, no, I've told the audience. I don't think they know, but I'm such a geek for this stuff that I always talk about Embassy Row. I just really love, oh, I mean, that's cool. You know,
amazing. I could probably get you a meeting. Kidding. No, I'm not kidding. So
wow, loser.
I mean like, no, as I'm if just, I'm yeah. somebody, no, I meant it more like that. So my best friend is now the head of development at Embassy Row, and Michael Davies, who is the founder of Embassy Row, who started a podcast called Men in Blazers, is her boss. I know him friend-wise. I used to have a show called Getting Nailed, where I got my nails done with celebrities, and they did an option for it. So we kind of knew each other.
Yeah.
They knew they wanted to work with me. They just didn't know in what capacity. They produce Watch What Happens Live, and Darren works effectively in the Embassy Row building in New York.
Yeah.
So they knew Darren because Michael and Andy are very, very close friends, obviously. And so they wanted to do something with Darren. So Sarnie, who's my best friend, who's head of development, was like, I really want you to meet Andy's assistant. She's gay. You're gay. You guys, I'm like, that is such a like straight person thing to do.
Well, like you even said in this podcast, you guys have said, just because you're gay doesn't mean you're attracted to every gay person. No. Like it's like as a straight person, you're not attracted to every other straight person just because you're straight, you know?
So dumb. So I was like, fine, I'll take this fucking meeting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sure Darren was saying that behind my back, like, who is this girl? She only has like 6,000 followers. I'm just kidding. Whatever.
You're at like 9,000 now. I hope you shove
almost,
that right
in. Almost. Guys, all the listeners out guys, there, follow. Please, I need to get to 10. Let me tell you, once I get that swipe up, it's CBD codes for everyone. So just come on. Anyway, so Darren and I and Sarnie went to lunch at Ciccone's, which is so LA. And we sat down and Sarnie was like, okay, I think you guys are going to be friends. like, we both want to do a project with each of you. Maybe you guys could do one together. And we were total strangers. And this is right, this is in the end of 2019. And so I'm like, okay. And she looked at my nails, which I'll show you on camera.
Oh God, those are really nice nails.
Thanks. And she was like, there's no way that you have sex with women with those nails. And I looked at her and I said, I've never had any complaints and I'm fucking married. So I don't know what your problem is. And then we started to kind of banter with each other back and forth about stereotypes about queer women. And I think I actually was the one to, Darren claims that it was me, but I don't even remember it that way, but I'll take it. But effectively that I said, yeah, I had these like stupid straight guys ask me if scissoring was a thing the other day. And she's like, oh my God, that happens to me all the time. Now, Michael did not want to name the show Scissoring Isn't a Thing. And I will say, from an advertiser perspective, it wasn't the smartest thing that we've ever done.
It's a hard sell, yeah.
But here we are. And that's kind of how the show came together. And fun other little fact is that I flew to New York and we shot 11 interviews, inclusive of Leah McSweeney. We were her first ever interview. In 4 days. And then she flew out to LA the week later and we shot like, shot and recorded.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think like 12 in a weekend. And then the pandemic hit 2 days later and Darren had to fly back to New York on one of the last flights out of LA.
God.
So we banked all these episodes, but unfortunately, you know, we had had a lot of plans to do like Bravo Pride and all these things and things fell apart, but you know, we just kept at it. And to be honest with you, Darren and I have actually really only gotten to know each other and developed a friendship over Zoom and through these episodes in the pandemic. That's
that really does shock me. I thought for some reason you were lifelong. Well, I know the reason why. It's just, you can usually tell when people have a good rapport with each other. It's just kind of really crackling and on top of each other. You give each other space. And as you geek
out. It was
out,
like, a process. Ryan, you, it was a you're process. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was transferring over old audio yesterday and I was listening to like some of my first ones and not in like a masturbatory, this is amazing fashion, but in a cringe, like
it's I was National so Masturbation tight. I was like, Month.
How many things are we doing in a month? Like, isn't it Pride too? Like, what is it? Is
no, this that's all? June.
That's June. Sorry. I just.
Jesus, Ryan. If you're going to capitalize on Bravo Gate.
Hey,
culture,
is scissoring a thing? Is that a.
I actually think it is a thing, but continue.
No, but you actually just caught me off guard. I'm like, no, I'm saying I geek out about this stuff. And it really, when you listen to these things, you really appreciate, you're like, oh, okay. Like, it's, you appreciate naturalism and actual relationships and stuff like that. So I thought that was just so cool.
Let me pause and say thank you. And I take that as a huge compliment and I will tell Darren later. And you are so easy to listen to and you are so funny and everyone is obsessed with you. So that is a huge compliment and I really appreciate it.
I do not know how to take compliments. So I'm like, should I just end the Zoom call?
Wait, should I also tell you what happened yesterday? But I was saving it. I wanted to come at you prepared because you told me that I had nothing to prepare, but I tried to prepare of how I knew you, which I already started the show with that. But then I have another little tidbit for you. Should I save it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, however you think
your show, I'm a guest.
This is already flowing. So we can do this whenever. I mean, I already got 30 more questions.
Here's what I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Is yesterday I met a young new assistant at our company and she was like, so I'm a huge Bravo fan. And anytime I hear that, I'm like, oh God, here it comes. And you know what she said?
What?
True. This is a true story. She goes, I mean, like, Ryan Bailey follows you on Instagram and I died. And I was oh my God, I'm going on his show tomorrow.
That shocks me. Like, I mean, you don't know that just really, I love, I mean, that's like the heart, that's heartwarming to me. Like that's, well, hello, young assistant. That's so cool. I love that. I nerd out for this stuff, like to be a part of it, to be any part of this. And it's like, so, cause the Instagram is like really smart ass. But then if you listen to that, I think you can tell I'm not like a complete asshole, but,
You're naughty on the internet. You've done a couple of naughty things I can't get away with, but I DM you and say, LOL.
But I think there is something I can hide behind, and it is something, and you know, it's like, I'm a straight white dude. And like, sometimes it shows like my privilege a little bit that I'm able to, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'll go for sometimes the lowest common denominator or something that really makes me laugh personally. And I would never want, like, if I made fun of Teddy Mellencamp the other day, I don't want Teddy to see it. Like, I mean, obviously I wouldn't want to hurt Teddy Mellencamp. If I was in a room with Teddy Mellencamp, I would be really embarrassed, but I do things that make me laugh and I'm not trying to hurt anyone.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because we just interviewed Amanda from Not Skinny But Not Fat.
Yeah, I know.
And I asked her kind of this question, or like, or maybe Darren did. And we're like, well, what would you think, like, if Kim or somebody saw your stories? And she goes, in the beginning, I didn't care because I just did what made me laugh. And then I started to see that they were looking at it. And some people were in on the joke, like Stassi would always kind of laugh with her, but others would not. And so I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, no, I mean,
You'd be embarrassed, but also, would you really be embarrassed in front of Teddy? Like, who really cares?
Not Teddy. That was a bad example. I mean, but here's the deal. I was picked on as a kid. Like, I know what it, like, I mean, I tend to not feel horribly bad for celebrities, because, you know, they're celebrities and they signed up for this. And sometimes even with the Kardashians, they know we're talking about them, and in whatever way we're talking about them, they kind of dig it. Like, in certain ways, it keeps them out there.
Yep.
Amanda's like, Not Skinny Not Fat is fascinating, because she got so big in this last year, her Instagram account in particular, where like, sometimes I feel like she's like being paid off by Travis Barker and Courtney. Like, she created, I think she is part of the reason Kravis is as popular as they are, because she is so into Courtney Kardashian and Travis Barker. And as a straight dude, sometimes I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I find it really uninteresting, but I love the fascination. Or I love somebody pushing it so hard because they see something that I don't. But
right,
fandom, I think, is amazing. Is there anything that you completely geek out of, where you lose all capacity to be cool?
Oh my God, all the time.
Good. I mean, but see, that's what I want to, like, that's,
I'm like, where do you want to begin? I'm like, how long is that going to take? I mean, first of all, for all the listeners out there, do not meet your heroes.
Yeah.
Just don't. It's a dark road. Like, I never want to meet Mary J. Blige. I just don't. I'll never want to meet her. I don't want to meet Erykah Badu. I'm more of like a music, you know, you talk about how you're a professional concert goer, it sounds
festival guy. Yeah.
I just love, I mean, I sang for a really long time and had a band. I don't anymore, but you know, music was such a huge part of my life for so long that like so many, I would like shit myself over. I have geeked out in front of a few people, but I would hope that it's endearing enough where I don't look like a total Looney Tune. I also tend to geek out over more industry stuff and not real fame. I wouldn't say that I'm mean to famous people, but like, treat them mean, keep them keen. Like, if we're at a dinner
party. Treat them mean, keep them keen. I love that.
If we're in a situation where someone's famous, I pretend like I have absolutely no idea who they are.
Oh, I would do. I mean, I've learned now to do the same. Like, there was, I remember first coming to Hollywood back in the day and auditioning. And like, I was the nerd that always read all these Hollywood magazines, even as like a teenager. That was like all my thing. So I remember going in for Michael Bay back in the day. And I was
room
with Jason Segel. I was in a room, and this is so long. It was like when I was in high school, it was for Black Hawk Down, all of a sudden I had this audition. I knew what it was. I knew the property, the book it was based on. I go in there, there's fucking Jason Segel from, I was like at the time, Freaks and Geeks. And I was over here. And then there was like all these people I had recognized, and I had the wrong sides, the wrong material that they give you guys. This is like, even like, this is pre like computers, but it wasn't a huge thing where you could just get the new sides. I have these sides, I'm looking at them. Jason Segel turns to me and goes, hey, you got the wrong scene. You got the earlier scene. And I was like, huh? And then I realized, and then they called my name right at that moment. So I was from like a theater background. And so I was like, I got this. And I said, can I get the new scene? And I picked it up and I went into the room, and it was Michael Bay, Jerry Bruckheimer, all of these people I knew. So I was already nervous because this shit meant something to me. So I was already, and I had this like shake in my hand all the time back then before I took beta blockers. And all of a sudden I realized in the scene, I get blown up by a grenade, and I don't like, so I'm seeing this for the first time while I'm auditioning. And so all of a sudden I get to that part and I realize, and I just go, ah, and I just jump off the chair and I don't know. And like, literally you can hear Michael Bay go,
oh my God.
Like Michael Bay goes trying not to laugh. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm just like, every sweat, all just sweat is dripping. And like, it was one of those things where I'm like, fuck, this tape is going to get passed around. It's like, look at what this guy did today. Because I'm such a fan of Hollywood and stuff like that, that I know I'm such a fan of like behind the scenes stuff, you know? That's why like Embassy Row, I geek out about shit like that, you know?
So do I. We'll be fast friends because that's what I geek out about. Like, I geek out about the writers and the, like, I love all that stuff.
Well, so. I mean, reality shows, like as I get further into this, what really fascinates me is more behind the scenes in terms of how this gets put together, like of how much they're thinking about which angle they can take. What if we get these scenes? I want to know how those things are put together more, because I'm starting to really not trust anything that I see, not just on Bravo, but in reality shows in general. Do you ever get that at all?
Do I know what they're doing, or
No. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever like,
oh, of you're course.
Untrusting I, of,
well, here's why I'm going to hold the line. The Temptation Island is the best reality television. I'm told you when we,
yes, you said it. You're like, I'm a big Temptation Island fan.
These people are fucking stupid. Like, why would you ever go to an island when you're, quote, about to get married or see if your relationship is going to work, be separated from your partner, and then be put with a bunch of horny 22 people that want to have sex with you for sport, effectively, with an enormous amount of alcohol.
Temptation is crazy that way. That's why they call it Temptation Island.
I know, but I feel like that must be real reality TV. Whereas when you start getting into kind of maybe, and this is all assuming, I don't know anything. I do not work for Bravo. I do not work for a production company. No. I'm just saying that a million times. But when you start getting into like Shaws of Sunset or like, you know, kind of these multi-season or perfect example, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, like,
yeah.
I just feel like they are like, all right, guys, they kind of look at the editorial calendar, if you will, and they just plug in situations. Now with like Brandy and Denise last year with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like that was amazing. And, you know, we had the opportunity to have Brandy on the show and she was like, no, that really happened. And I really didn't think, wink, wink, that was going to make it to air. And I'm like, well, thank God it did. You know what I mean? So I think some of it has to be zhuzhed up a little bit for the camera. And it just depends on how you want to, you either like go along for the ride or you don't, you know what I mean? Like you just kind of have to enjoy it for that.
Did you watch the season premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I did not.
So Erica Jane, I'm sure you're aware.
Oh, I'm up to speed on the goss. I didn't watch it.
No, I mean, you obviously love yourself, but it's
I love Sutton though.
Sutton, I hear, doesn't have a very good show tonight because she gets into it with Crystal Minkoff, the new cast member who's Asian American. And I watched this scene. Sutton says that, you know, she gets discrimination too, because everybody thinks that where she's from, there's rednecks. And so she says that to Crystal and she's like, oh my God. And Crystal's like, are you saying that you're one of the people that doesn't see color? Is that really what you're saying? And then Sutton's like, don't do that. Do not do that to me. And like starts like tearing up and stuff. So, so I'm like nervous to watch, but Erica Jane, of course, has gone through this whole thing. And I couldn't help but like think that, as much as I think she thinks she's going on to help her case, the whole production, I don't know if they were doing this on purpose, but it seemed like they were showing her like overflow closet and even put the chyron on.
It's
like overflow. They said like, oh, they highlighted so many different of her outfits, her jewelry, like in the first episode. And I was just wondering, I mean, I wonder so many things about Erica Jane right now, but I just wonder like, she thinks she's outsmarting them, but in the end production's outsmarting her. And I wonder what that symbiotic relationship is, and if there is a natural understanding when you go on to these shows, you know?
Here's the thing. If you go on reality TV, you really do have to go all in, you know? I mean, I've had these conversations.
If you do it right, yeah.
If you do it right, you know, or if you want to be asked back, you know? I mean, obviously, you know, I have friends on these shows and we talk about it. Like, you got to go all in or not. And it was interesting. I interviewed Sutton for somebody else's show.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
yeah. A couple of months ago. She couldn't have been lovelier. So much fun.
No, she seems awesome. Yeah.
She's lovely. And I want to actually use what you're saying against her and get her to throw a pride party for me at her mansion, because I think that would be so sick. Yeah. So remind me about this later. I love like white guilt and like privilege. And I think we should just use it against her. But, you know, I think she was kind of saying to us, like, production was claiming that because she didn't have her children on air and her ex, that she wasn't a full cast member, which I think is bullshit, because Erica never reveals anything, basically. And I think maybe she upped the ante in this way to get more airtime, whether that's positive or negative. But when it comes to someone like Erica Jayne, like, I think she's thinking that I think you're correct. I think she's thinking that she's going to outsmart production. But when you sign up for these shows, as you know, editing is a terrifying and amazing thing.
I don't believe. I mean, like you were at, you know, you're an actor, you know, the camera doesn't usually lie that much. You can edit certain things, but at the same time, I really do believe the camera will let you know the core of that person. We can see things. The audience is so sophisticated now, and almost Bravo audiences, I feel, are way too sophisticated, almost thinking about the show way more than production is, where it's sometimes ruining the show. But I do think that is an interesting thing of like, you can have a bad edit, but only to up to a certain degree. You know, it's still going to highlight who you are inside.
I feel that way about Jen Shah. I felt like it was so obvious from the beginning that something was completely not adding up.
Yeah, you don't agree?
I totally agree.
I'm just laughing that like it is funny because, well, I always say to the audience that we only get like a first season Housewives show. You only get Real Housewives Salt Lake City season one once. Right. And what was so great is to see Jen was so huge. We saw it immediately, the audience, because of the camera, but everybody else around kowtowed to Jen Shah, was scared of her and almost thought, oh, this is the star of the show. She's the loudest. So they all treated her like in fear of her. Heather Gay, who I love, was like, I'm
the best. You know, that's my homie. That's my girl.
I'm knock on. We've been texting. I think she's coming on. So what I loved about Heather is that the episode one, she came off. I was just like, oh no, like this is not going to go good for her. And then each episode after that, she was so honest, so real, so true. And she would have these really hysterical moments, but also like a really funny wit about herself. And then also she stood up for herself. She was sexy. She was like, she did all of these things.
A fantastic mother, which I talked about on our show. Like her kids are so, and it was so cute. I some behind the curtains. When Darren and I had Heather on the show, she was kind of setting up. I think she had been doing a press, you know, it was around the reunion. We got her right before the reunion. And I think she was doing press. And so the kids were in the house. And I was just anecdotally talking to Heather and thanking her for coming on. I said, you know, Heather, I got to tell you, like, your kids seem so nice. And all the kids pop out of the kitchen and they're like, see, Mom, we are nice. And I'm like, no, but they are. They seem like really nice kids. And I think she is such a great role model to those girls. Heather Gay for president. She is the shit.
She said something and like, I'm divorced. And like, she said something about
divorce.
Oh my
God, you and Heather.
Well, she said something about divorce that really like, just like, you know, was that there is this innate guilt to it, you know, like even if you weren't the, you know, one who did, there's this innate guilt. And I just thought it was so, just her explaining it of like, you don't go into a marriage thinking it's ever going to end. You do think it's forever. So that loss of, you know, that it almost makes you sometimes not trust yourself, or sometimes you just rethink things in such a way, and it can be real. And you saw that, I think, on screen with her, of just being very honest. But then you saw these great moments of power of like her as a single rider at the ski lodge. And I just thought it was a really great first season Housewife. And already everybody's like, well, she's going to blow it in the second season. She's going to blow it.
No way.
That's exactly how Bravo fans sound. She's going to blow it.
And I would actually, not to like plug my own show, but I would encourage the Bravo fans of this show, which I assume they all are, to listen to our episode with Heather, because she actually really breaks down the Mormon church for us, but also through the lens of the LGBTQ+ community, which the Mormon church has been trying to kind of say that they are like cool with. It's very interesting. She's very great. She sent me a gift. I mean, Ryan, not to just like put salt in the wound here, but
I rode really hard for Heather this season, and it was just so nice sometimes to, from what I saw in that first episode, and she even said like she thought everybody was going to hate her. So when everywhere this flood of love came through, she was really surprised by it, and I really loved that. But the same thing goes, I know we gassed her up so much, and I feel the same thing with Leah McSweeney. Now Leah, first season was one of the most iconic first seasons for a housewife. And I don't like, you just can't argue with that, you guys. But also we were in a pandemic. We were locked in our rooms and we saw something very refreshing of somebody just going balls out. We saw her deal with her alcohol issues. We saw her stick up to Ramona. We had an iconic episode with the tiki torches in the Hamptons, the chicken and the, you know, all these things. And you know, now we're coming into the second season. We gas somebody up so much that I sometimes worry like where their head is at when they go into the second season. Do they think their shit doesn't stink? And then also they're going up against now people going, well, she's going to fail this second season, which is ridiculous because it's a reality show. So it's not about winning and losing, but we now look at it as wrestling. We do look at it as winning and losing. Mm-hmm. And you're friends with Leah, right?
Yeah, very good friends. Yep.
So what was it like to watch? Did you watch that? You did watch the first season, right?
I watched bits and pieces of it. Okay. Again, not to plug my podcast, but go ahead and listen to Scissoring.
Yeah.
Go ahead and listen to Scissoring when Leah is on our show, because we interviewed Leah it's really interesting to listen to actually, because it was like her first technical interview about the show. Obviously, we have to be really sensitive because of Darren's involvement with Andy. Like, it's an interesting thing, right? Like, it's golden handcuffs all the way. But here's what I will tell all of you guys listening. Leah I have known Leah for a very, very, very long time. We have been friends for years. She is my ride or die. Like, I just recently started a new job and she like posted on her Instagram congratulating me. Like, she really is all for women. She really is thinking what she says. Leah can be really annoying because she doesn't give a fuck. Like, that's who she is. But at the core of it, she's a very kind, deliberate, and honest person. She's also really hot. So she's probably never been bullied like the two of us have been. So fuck her, because she's hot all the time. So those people, like, how much can you trust them? I'm just kidding.
Bullied? Are you kidding? By the way, Liz is really good looking. You didn't get bullied. Are you kidding?
Oh my God. I got horribly bullied growing up. Mm. I got called fat forever. It was terrible. It was not great. So anyway, Ryan, that's what makes me so relatable. So I've known Leah for a really long time, but we talk about in that first episode, like, I remember when she called me and she was in LA auditioning and she's like, "Where should we go shopping?" And I'm like, dude, the clothes are so much better in New York. Like, who cares? I mean, it was such a weird process to watch it happen. If I'm being honest, I didn't know if she was going to get on the show because I thought she was like too young. I'm like, you're my age. Like, why would you be on that show? You know?
Yeah.
You're a mom. Sure. Like, you were never married to Rob, who, by the way, Rob is the best person in the world.
He does come off like a really,
I am the president of the Rob fan club. Always have been, always will be.
But I'm tired of people saying last season that her and Rob need to get together, you know? So,
actually, you won't like that. I actually call them mom and dad, and I've been begging for them to get back together for the last 8 years. So I'm probably not the audience for that.
The only reason I'm saying that is because you don't realize, but like the whole season I did extended bits on this show where I was going to marry Leah McSweeney. So there's fantasy.
We could still make that happen.
There's fantasy sequences on this show where I was reenacting Say Anything outside of a New York size. Oh. And then we went to the podcast awards together, which I created in my head.
Okay.
I won an award. So she was like really happy. It was like attractive to her that I won a podcast award.
Oh,
I did extended.
You're Jewish though, aren't you?
No, everybody thinks I am. I'm Catholic. I'm Irish.
Really?
Catholic.
She used to be Catholic.
I know. And now I have to like convert to Judaism because she's converting to Judaism. So, but no,
she might take you on a date. It could happen.
Everybody knows I did extended Leah McSweeney. And so everybody, she might be vaguely aware because people would always
you
tag
want
me
to
in
tell
her
post.
I mean, I think she's probably aware. I think a lot
you
of
want
people.
Me to, should I be like this, Ryan? Should I be like, Leah, I did this show today where this guy, Ryan, you guys went to the podcast awards together.
Well, no. She wouldn't know about the podcast awards. You could say he did an extended dream sequence on his podcast where he took you to the podcast awards.
No, I think it's better, Ryan, if I just play it like it happened and see what she says back.
Perfect. She'll be okay, perfect.
So anyway, no, listen, I think I am so proud of her. Yes, to answer your question, it was very weird watching her on camera because that's not how I have known her over the years. Like, I know her for being wild and crazy, but, you know, obviously she's been very open about it. Like, I never knew her to have been drinking. Like, she had been sober for so long.
9 years. Yeah.
So like, I was always kind of like the drunk bitch and she was not. So that was new for me. But at the end of the day, I'm just so proud of her. Like, Leah was, years ago, we talked about this. I'm like, you just want to be on TV. Like, that's what you should do. But again, like, Leah and I met when we were in I guess I was in my late 20s. She was in her early 30s. Like, she's never been competitive with women. She's always been a ride or die. But what I love about her is when somebody fucks up or she doesn't do something cool, she'll say something. And I'm very similar, which is why I think we get along so well. So when someone's a fake ass bitch, I'm going to say it. And so was she. And I think she changed the show for the better. Of course, I'm biased.
Is it hard then to watch? Like, I feel like everybody was pro Leah for a season and now people, and this is just the natural way Bravo works or like fandom in general works sometimes with reality shows is now people are like being very critical or hyper.
I don't love it. That's
what I'm
saying.
What's it like to actually know a person?
I know.
And then, cause I'm like, I'm friendly with Ariana and Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump. And that's why I kind of go so, I mean, a lot of reasons why I go so hard on Jax is because I think, you know, because Jax was like coming at Ariana for her bisexuality. And I was just like, I don't know. And like her mental health. And I was just like, that's fucked up. I don't care if you're on a reality show, you know?
I know. I agree. Yes. The answer is yes. It bugs me. And obviously I love the Bravo fan accounts. They've been so good to Darren and I. Like, I love them. There's a couple that I'm closer with. Thank you. There are some that I'm closer with than others. Like, I love Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravo. She's the sweetest.
Really, I mean, that's and really good investigative stuff.
Yes, journalism. I love her. She's so kind. And I love Best of Bravo. I adore her, but she hates Leah. And
I know she actually posted today and I wrote no with a bunch of O's because I just don't like that.
I don't comment on it. I will give her the credit that she has messaged me and was like, listen, I'm sorry. I know that you and Leah are friends. And I said, thank you. I appreciate it. I just like can't. In the beginning, I would write to her and I'm like, girl, like this is too much. Like, just give her a fucking break. But I would also say, like, what about it? And she was kind and she's like, oh, sorry, it's just my opinion. And I'm like, I get it. Like, I think a lot of people like the Housewives because they like watching kind of older women make asses of themselves. But I would ask yourself, why is that? And why does Leah rub you the wrong way? For me, I'll tell you, whenever Leah rubs me the wrong way as her friend, I will tell you why. She is hotter than me. She is skinnier than me. She is richer than me. And she doesn't have to have a day job. So those things, those fourth, and I love Rob, and I love Keir, and she lives in New York, and she gets free shit. So what are we at? We're at seven. Yeah. Those seven things annoy the fuck out of me about her. But I'll say it to her face, so it's a little bit different. But I would just say, like, what is it that is bothering everybody about Leah? Because is it something that you want? Is it something that you wish you could say? Because I really admire her. Again, I'm super biased in this, but well, she I don't did know. Something it does the- bug me when I see people talk shit, but I just kind of, it's their prerogative. You know what I mean? They can do whatever they want. You know,
she did something amazing yesterday though. I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, I saw it with Carol.
Yes. So this is what I do. I mean, this is, you know, she's brash in the best way was that she found out Carol Radswill, you know, former cast member of Real Housewives of New York. And also I want to point out, remember you guys, Carol, I really went in on because she was advertising the necklace vibrator a year and a half ago.
Oh, I
she
have one like, of those. Okay.
She's like, yeah, she has this really great photo of her looking out a window. And she was like, I like to wear this necklace on planes. And I just thought it was like when Shannon Bedore from OC, Shannon Bedore from OC did SpawnCon for like these pants you can pee in. you know? And it was like her, anyways, she wrote this Carol Radswell. She posted like user not found Carol Radswell. And she goes, "This is so weird. I've never uttered a word about her ever, but I do have a question for her. ... How is the sex child trafficking bestie Gislang doing?" And you guys, I mean, she brings up a really interesting
point. That's my fucking girl. That is Carol, my skated, fucking girl.
Carol skated on her relationship with Ghislaine and was able to kind of say, "Well, I just hung out with her for like an entire weekend once." You know, like it was like,
which is fictitious and not correct, actually. And,
well, because she wound up in the like the these logs and anyways, I love that Leah came out there and it's like that. I mean, she's right. Leah's right. I mean, it really is one of those things that Carol like kind of skated past, and it always goes to remind you, it's hard to do the right thing, but eventually you will pay for doing the wrong thing and it will keep getting brought up. And I love that. I mean, I kind of like that. It's like the universe balancing itself out.
Yeah. And I think like, if you go on a podcast and you talk about other people's drug use, which is fucking whack.
So that's what Heather Holla Thompson did. Well, they were bringing it up last night, you guys. And that's what Leah brought up at the dinner table, which, by the way, are you now really excited to have been at the forefront of podcasting now, seeing how popular in Real Housewives of New York? Everybody has a podcast in Real Housewives of New York or been affiliated with one.
Yes. And I guess I should be forthcoming and say that Heather Holla back was on Embassy Row.
Yeah.
So, but I never listened to it. Sorry, yeah. I didn't have the time. But yeah, I guess I am. I don't know. I mean, listen, I have a face for radio. So this is something I should have done a million years ago.
I hope that person that gave you water is flipping you off right now.
My wife. No, she's gone. Yeah. My wife's a therapist. She just went into session.
Oh,
she
my God.
Handed me a water and was like, "Don't say anything stupid," and walked out. but no, I mean, everyone does have a podcast. And, you know, I've listened to Bethany's. Can I just say something really weird about Bethany's podcast? And I just need to say to somebody like,
Yeah.
Why is the production of that podcast so bad and inconsistent?
The only reason I know that is because people will actually bring that up to me. I have never listened to it, and people will bring up that it is some of the worst audio that they have heard.
Ryan, it's unbelievable. So this is, I'll just give you a snapshot. She'll do the intro, which sounds pretty clear. And then she'll do a piece of sponsored content that sounds like she is inside of a tin can and throwing herself across with like rocks in her pocket. Then she'll do the celebrity interview, which is horrendous Zoom audio. And it sounds like the guest is, I don't know, like about to jump out of a plane in a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
And then it's just everything is inconsistent and strange. And then you can hear her as if she's doing a voice memo on her phone. Like, "Yeah, hi. I just want to thank like everyone at Skinny, like Skinny Girl Margarita, like for sponsoring this podcast. Bye." I mean, it's mind boggling to me. I mean, for all the people that like you that put so much effort into editing, it's like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, I the audience knows I'm fascinated with her HBO Max reality show, The Big Shot. Not because I think it's a great show, but just I'm fascinated with how weirdly it's put together. The other great, which I hate to even bring these up in the same breath, but I don't know if you're aware of Farrah Abraham from Teen Mom.
Of course.
She does a podcast. Well, I don't know if it's still going with her daughter, but it was literally, she would just put her voice audio on the phone. There's an episode, her episode was like 17 minutes long, where she did the audio and then she gave it to her daughter and had her daughter go get the mail. And so you just hear the daughter going, and then all of a sudden you hear like a street and like cars going by, you hear a key go into the mailbox, and then you hear mail being brought back in. She did an episode where they just put down the recorder when they were eating at their lunch break at Disneyland. It was so... One, when they're just driving in the car with the dad, it is so David Lynchian. We live in a society now where the desire to be known is so interesting. Like the desire, and it's really all them, they land on reality shows most of the time, you know?
Yeah. My wife said I would be really boring on reality.
But that's what you want. That's what you want. I mean, the only thing like people like, I do, like you don't want to be... You don't want to be fascinated on a reality
show. Okay, here's what I'll say. This is a regret of mine, is that I didn't fly back to New York for Leah's 10-year mob anniversary or 15, whatever it was, because I can't remember why I didn't go. I think it was like, it was the first week of December. I mean, I had just been married. I don't know, but I didn't go. And I really fucking regret that because
it looked like a really good, it was a fun episode.
It was a fun episode. And I also just recently didn't fly back for the season, well, her season two party either.
Oh,
just
God. Lourdes was there.
Chacon, no shit. Trust me. If you listen to our podcast or if you listen to me on the Taylor Strucker show, you guys know I actually got Darren and Taylor to go instead of me.
I was talking to Dumois a couple weeks ago on here, and she's like, you know, she's a hidden identity, secret identity. Leah invited Dumois to it, and Dumois was like, I can't go. Like, I can't, like, what are you gonna put Dumois at the guest list? And Dumois was telling me after the show, she was like, it sucks. Cause like, sometimes I do want to do these things and I can't do them because nobody like is supposed to know who I am, you know?
So interesting. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, I really regret that because here's what I want. I don't necessarily want to be like a reoccurring friend or castmate on Housewives, but I want to be like a random friend that comes in and like fuck shit up, but can still have my day job, you know?
Yeah. Well, last season, the thing that I almost applied for a job at, Dorinda's, the Berkshires, the
manor, the
Berkshires, the Berkshires house. But then there was that place they went to, the restaurant or the bar that Dorinda used to work at.
Then
Leah brought the bartender home on the episode. And then I was like, oh, that's what I have to do. Like, but Dorinda's not on the show, but I was like almost going to apply at that bar. Cause wouldn't that be insane for the podcast audience all of a sudden, if I just randomly showed up at the Berkshires house? And I was just like, hey, what's up,
everybody? It would be weird. It would be cool. I mean, there's hope for us. Hope for you and I.
That's all we have is our hope. Cruella de Vil. Do you know this Cruella movie that's coming out on Disney Plus with Emma Stone? Do we need an origin story for every character in any, like, and also if you look at the preview, it looks very dramatic and not in the Glenn Close 101 Dalmatians.
I loved Glenn Close.
I mean, she really killed it. And I love Emma. I think Emma Stone's amazing, but I was like, really? We're going to get an origin? Do we need, like, did you ever look at 101 Dalmatians and go, like, what made her her?
Well, not to bring this back to you and me, but to bring this back to you and me and how we know each other. Remember when you go to Leslie Kahn and they make you come up with like your log line of the celebrity like?
Yeah.
What was yours? Cause I'm going to tell you mine after.
Mine was it was like a cross between Paul Rudd, Seth Rogen, and David Denman, who actually is on Mayor of Easttown right now as Kate Winslet's ex-husband. But he was the guy also in The Office as the original boyfriend of Pam. The original
mine was Chelsea Handler meets Emma Stone, and Leslie always made me audition with that easy A monologue. So I have like this weird vibe on Emma Stone where I'm like, ugh, like so annoying. It could have been me. Also, I got my headshots done by the same people she did when she used to be a blonde and then she went to be a redhead. She's a natural blonde, just for the folks out there listening. But I don't know. I don't need an origin story for everything. I did like the Joker, but like, I don't need it. I also don't understand why there is not new IP. Like,
it's the same thing as like these Housewives shows keep going and going instead of doing new reality shows. And that's why sometimes I get frustrated with Bravo, because I know like TLC, the 90 Day universe is like in like they'll. You fart in a tin can, they'll give it an eight episode, show over there. But with Bravo, like, you know, existing IP is sometimes easier to produce than like actually taking a risk. And like, you know, it really, cause.
What show do you think is missing from Bravo?
Well, the shows that they're actually going to be doing in the next year. And I know Andy was originally against this, but things like where you're combining things, where you're doing the Housewives All-Star mashup, where you're doing Summer House Winter Charm, where you put like start creating, in a universe, start acting like it, because 90 Day is doing the universe thing where they're really keeping these characters around. And I think you can have different iterations of these things. Like, how amazing would it be to see like trade Nene to Beverly Hills, and we trade somebody from Beverly Hills to Atlanta? Like, let's do some crazy things and see what sticks, throw it against the wall. And I think people would really love it, because we're so passionate already, but we need to start bringing in new people. I look at the ratings all the time. But
none of the people you just said are new people. You're saying no.
I'm saying do that for the old school fans, but then you do need to start bringing in kind of like really new shows, new ideas that can get new eyes on them. Because I feel like people like me are so passionate. We live our lives around this stuff, but are we bringing anybody new in to watch these shows? And are they going to come in 12 seasons into a show? Like, I have never seen Law and Order, and now I'm scared to ever start because there's 80.
It's a procedural. You know this. You acted. You can just watch anyone.
I'm very slow.
Funny that you mention it. I have Peacock now, and I just watched Law and Order Organized Crime with Stable last night, and I don't know what the fuck is going on, but guess what? In another episode, it doesn't matter because every episode is standalone, so that was a bad example, Ryan. You know better than that.
No. Okay, in the terms of just, like, there's 800 episodes, I'm one of those people that feel like I need to see all of it. Like, I'm not going to just... You know, so at this point, I feel like it's too much of a time commitment, but I'm like looking towards the future. I want to make sure Bravo is around forever. Like, I want to make sure
it's okay.
It is healthy forever, you know?
Okay.
How'd you get involved with Taylor Strecker?
Oh my God. You're going to have me back on the show because
that's already a done deal. If you're willing to come.
Oh my God. Anytime you want. Are you kidding me? I could talk to you forever.
Yeah.
Very short story is that Taylor and I met the summer of love in San Francisco at American Conservatory Acting School.
I was 15, ACT, yeah.
She was 17. She got shipped out from Connecticut by her parents to stay with her uncle, Bo Bonneau, who was a very famous commercial casting agent in San Francisco, who started a little thing called LA Casting.
Oh, shit. Which is still, LA.
And so... Taylor and I met because I was 15 and I had the cigarettes and the weed. And she was like, oh, that seems cool. And she was staying with her like bachelor uncle. And I was like, why don't you just come like stay at my house? So she literally stayed at my house for the summer. We had this insane summer. I used to be able to get us in a nightclub. I mean, I was the wildest 15-year-old of all time. I was basically Lindsay Lohan getting us into clubs at 15. And then because it was way before social media or cell phones, we lost touch. I went to boarding school, no surprise. The next year, she went for her senior year. Then she went to Ithaca College. I think I called her mother's house one time. Then when I graduated boarding school, I was going to the new school in New York. And Twitter had kind of, maybe it was Twitter.
The new school, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that where Inside the Actor's Studio comes out of?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to the new school. I was like going there and I looked up Taylor somehow, or maybe I was in school already. I don't remember. And I found out that she was the host of Cosmo Radio. So I literally emailed like Taylor@TaylorStrecker.com or something. And I'm like, hey, bitch, it's me. Like, do you guys want to meet? And I met her and her former fiance. We had dinner and we never talked again. Cause I'm like, she has gone way too like Stepford Wife for even my taste over here. I was like still wearing like Air Force Ones and Juicy Couture jumpsuits and shit. And I was an intern. I was the first hip hop intern at Capitol Records, true story.
Oh, wow.
And she was like a little too basic for me at the time. We lost complete touch. 11 years. So we had lost touch, come together. 11 years go by. 11. The time I'm working at Bustle Digital Group and I'm putting together a deal. And Darren and I had just met to do the Embassy Row show. This is end of 2019. And I had cast Darren and her mom in something. And I was, God, I need some other talent. And Darren's like, oh, I have a couple of people. And I said, okay, send them to our producers. And I looked at the list and I saw Taylor Strecker's name and my heart dropped. And I went on social media and then I saw that Taylor was a motherfucking lesbian. And I was like, what has happened? I called Darren and I'm like, oh my God, do you know Taylor? And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm her Wednesday host on her radio show. And I go, text her right now that you know Liz Cully. And Taylor will tell you it was as if like time stopped because we hadn't seen each other in 10 years. And now... year later, I'm the Tuesday host on the Taylor Strecker show.
That's awesome. It's so crazy how people from our past, like, you know, it's like, that's the one of the only good things about getting older is you get to see your friends succeed and they'll sometimes bring you along for that ride and you get to actually collaborate and stuff. It's really, that's one of the most exciting things about anything in the arts is that people, you know, usually never like forget, like it has a way of working itself back around, you know?
I think so. I also would say to anybody, no matter what industry you're in, you see the same people at the bottom and as you will at the top. So be kind, be considerate, show up on time, go to your friends' weird stand-up shows that you really don't want to go to.
Are you scared to start getting invited to improv shows again?
Yeah, I'm not going to go to an improv show, but I will definitely go to a stand-up storytelling show depending on the subject matter.
Yeah,
and if it's close to my house.
Yeah, that was storytelling shows really were in 2019. Storytelling shows really, there was a meteoric rise. So I'm really curious to see if all of that can come back.
I did a few.
I actually wanted to do a few. I remember I was like, I have like a list of goals and stuff. And I wrote like storytelling shows was on the list. And said, I just got really into Bravo. how do we support you? There's like, by the way, she will come back on because there's just, I didn't get to anything that I wanted to get to,
oh,
but this
really?
Was a great conversation.
No,
but that's how it usually works anyways. You have a plan and then, but by the way, this is our first time talking. So this is what I love is that you guys just get to come along on a ride of me wanting to talk to somebody anyways. And I thank you so much for all of this time that you gave us today. And how do we support you? The podcast is called Scissoring Isn't a Thing, right?
Yeah. So okay. Scissoring Isn't a Thing comes out every Friday. SIAT podcast is it on social. And then please follow me because I think I'm kind of funny and I'm on Instagram at listen to Liz. And I don't have that many followers. So I love to DM strangers. I just met a stranger in the internet, Ryan, or from the internet in real life a couple of weeks ago. And I think I was on a date by mistake and I didn't realize it.
Oh, did they think it was a date?
Well, he said he was in an open marriage.
Yeah, but wait. Okay.
Let's put a pin in it.
No,
have me back on the show.
That's so good. Because I also needed to ask if everybody, because of the Denise Brandy stuff, I had this, I'm like, is everybody bisexual? Like, is every girl hooking up with their girlfriends and they just don't ever tell
their
guys?
That would have made my life a lot easier.
Okay. That's what I mean. I bet this is happening and we just don't know it, you know?
No,
I'm all for it, but
no. Well, why don't we have you on Scissoring and we'll really put you through the gauntlet.
Please. That would be amazing. That would really, but I mean, my best friend. Yeah, that would be amazing. That would be.
Don't
anytime.
My best friend is gay. Don't.
No, I was going to say my best friend is straight. I wasn't saying.
Don't tell me your cousin is gay. I love that.
No, I grew up in gay bars. I grew up in gay. But no. Yeah. I'm no.
My favorite thing is like in work situations. And I know you're trying to end the podcast and I won't.
No, I just, cause I want you to get out on time.
I don't have anywhere to go.
I thought you said I have 3 to 4:30. So that's why.
Oh yeah. I probably have a meeting, but they can wait. So anyway, Listen, I love it when I say, oh yeah, you know, my wife and people are like, oh, my cousin Sheila and her girlfriend. I'm like, you guys, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's okay. At this point, you don't need to tell me that you're cool with the gays because we're basically outnumbering you with Gen Z. Cause these kids, or they identify as things I don't even understand.
My friend is a professor of communications in Chicago. And he was just like, he was explaining, like, I didn't like know about like identification and stuff like that. This was years ago, not this year, but he's like, yeah, I mean, you could identify as a table if you wanted, and we'd have to respect that. We'd have to respect that you're a table. And I was just like, and I was talking about Demi Lovato and they're non-binary now. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to walk through that because it is one of those things that like, I'm down to learn. I want to learn, but I'm not going to act like I know everything. I mean, this is, I was not aware of what non-binary was until the last year and a half, you know?
Sounds like you need to listen to Scissoring Isn't a Thing every week
I did learn. I was really, you guys, you got to listen to that. That TikTok story really made me laugh.
It's
and
wild.
Then Karamo was talking about Karamo's son. I'm sorry. I'm forgetting his name offhand was talking
Jason.
About Brown. Jason was talking about, he was like looking at some porn. He went from the straight thing. He went, you know, girls. And then he wound up on gay porn, and then he finished. And he was like, that was the hottest thing I'd ever. Like, I just thought these journeys are really fascinating of coming to, not terms, because I don't think it's anything horrible.
It's just like everyone has a different journey and what's fun. Listen, Darren and I are not like the gayest people. We aren't the pillars of the community.
I've always called you guys the gayest.
You did. That's so funny. Yeah, we're not. But we're also learning too. So I think, you know, when people come on and they share with us their stories, we just learn so much. And I think if we can foster a world in which we are asking questions as opposed to just, you know, having preconceived notions or being too scared of being canceled and like all this fucking shit, we're going to be in a better place. Because guess what? I don't know what it's like to be a straight white Catholic man obsessed with Bravo. Like, I have no idea what that's like. So you would have to enlighten me. You have no idea what it's like to be a waspy girl that looks like a chubby Olsen twin that like is in a queer relationship that loves, you know, everything monogrammed. You don't know what that's like. So we have to, you know,
well, that's what it's our stories are what we have. And that's why I think podcasting especially is so exciting, because that's what I really loved about your podcast was that you did get to hear these stories. And mine is like, you know, it starts with Bravo, a reality show. And then if I'm lucky, as I get further into this, you start to find out about other people a little bit more and can kind of open those conversations. And those are what really excites me at the end of the day of like, oh shoot, I got to spend this time with this person. And it wasn't just breaking down a reality show. You get a little window inside and you kind of learn something from it. And this past year, especially, I got to learn so much stuff that actually has made me a better person in certain ways, or just more aware of the world around me. And that's just like, whoa, that your dog did that on your podcast this week too.
I got a pandemic puppy. Her name is Ravioli, and she just screamed. I'm pretty sure that my Zara package just arrived, and I apologize.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Last question. What was the first date with your wife? What'd you guys do?
So long. I'm saving it for the next time.
Damn it. Okay. Okay.
Have me back, because it's funny and it involves a rat.
Okay. So we got the guy that you accidentally went on a date with potentially from the internet, and first date with the wife. Okay. Liz Cully.
It's too long, Ryan.
I'm saying Liz Cully, scissoring isn't a thing. Also on Tuesdays, co-host of the Taylor Strecker Show, and go follow at Listen to Liz. And also I want to point out one more thing. I always say this, you guys know what I'm about to say. Go before you even listen to this podcast. Listen to her podcast, subscribe and hit 5 stars. It's the freest thing that you can do. Nobody is asking for money, but I will tell you it does help. It helps the awareness of the show. Most of us are doing this for free with our own time. So it is the smallest token of appreciation that you can give somebody to be on this show, to spend this time with us. So do that as a personal favor to me. And is there anything else that I'm forgetting?
No, God, you're such a pro. You got it. I just want to say thank you. I am such a fan. I can't wait to tell the Gen Zers I was on this show.
Gen Zers.
Yeah, I'm just, I can't wait to come back and tell you more. There's so much more to talk about.
Well, so I'm so excited to continue the conversation, and we will talk to you next time.
Okay. Bye, Ryan.
Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.